Well, hey, everybody. Really glad that you're here. Happy Thanksgiving. How's everybody doing? Yeah, great. Well, tonight is all about worshiping God out of thankfulness. And I want to share this verse with you. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So to me, that says that actually every single thing that we can do can be an act of worship. So we're going to have an opportunity to sing tonight, to listen tonight, actually be able to express our thankfulness, and then also be able to take communion together as a community and a family here in Florence. But for now, I would love for you guys to stand, and we can just start this off by singing together and worshiping God. And basically, this entire time is just for us to express our thankfulness and just tell God how good He is. So really glad you guys are here. When you call us out to the unknown, uncertain, we will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, we'll be right back.
His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Actually, want to lead us through an exercise right now where we're all just going to read a passage of scripture. And the reason that we're going to do this is that this will just continue to align our hearts. And as we continue to grow closer together, I think that's really actually very worshipful and pleasing to God. So let's read this verse together. It's Psalm 104, 33 and 34. So I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. So let's just continue singing together. Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor and girded with praise. No tell of his might. Splendor and girded with praise.
is what some can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Sing that again. You alone, for you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what some can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light.
Call upon your name.
thank you so much for meeting us exactly where we are. And God, that we don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to be able to say certain things. We don't have to have a list of things that we've accomplished. But God, you accept us and you love us exactly the way that we are right now. And God, I just am incredibly thankful for that. So God, as we listen tonight, as we express our thankfulness, God, I just ask that you would encounter us. God, that we would experience your truth and your presence as we just continue to enjoy being here together as a family. So God, I just thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Good to be with you. Gosh, who knew that the first Thanksgiving didn't have turkeys? That was weird to me, wasn't it? And I gotta say, I am glad that right now we don't have this whole deer thing, because like stuffing a deer in the oven would really, really stink. But no, it's fascinating how we've come from a group that met with a bunch of Indians to now something that is going to impact all of us. It's going to be the biggest shopping season of the year, but also one of the biggest times where we just stop and say thanks and spend time with our families. And tonight we're going to be looking at how if we change our perspective of Thanksgiving, it has the opportunity to go a lot further than just to impact us tomorrow, but to impact us for the time to come. Hopefully, as you came in, you got a couple things. Hopefully, you got some Post-its, and hopefully, you got a Sharpie. And if you didn't, just share them with the person next to you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you on the top one just to write your first name. Write your name on that top one. Leave it there. So write your name really nicely. And that when you're going to do for the rest of our time together, if you find something that you are thankful for, there's a reason that you want to say, God, I'm thankful for something. You're just going to take the opportunity to write it in. Maybe there's something that resonates as we go. Maybe there's just something that's been on your mind that you want to capture. I want all of us to have the chance to capture those as we spend our time together today. But no matter what you knew about Thanksgiving, my goal tonight will be to share some fresh perspective that actually has the ability to change you. I want to look at the importance of perspective because it can have a big influence on us. One of the places that I saw this perspective thing work out, a few weeks ago I was shopping, I was trying to get some new clothes, stop at one of my favorite places, TJ Maxx. Anyone else like TJ Maxx? Come on. Come on, we got some TJ Maxx fans. And I do that like all of you do. I beeline for the clearance place. I'm trying to look for a good deal. I find a good deal. I go to the counter, and so I'm waiting in line. I get to the counter, that little annoying thing that's like, number six. You come up. So I walk up, and the cashier, she kind of recognized me, and she says, "Are you Terry Phillips?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she says, "I go to Crossroads, and I want you to know you're my favorite Asian pastor." And I'm thinking, I'm kind of a big deal. What did you just say? Favorite Asian pastor? Like, what is that supposed to mean? Is that like telling your only sister, you're my favorite sister, you know? Like, that also means I'm not your least favorite. And so I'm thinking of all this in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, how am I supposed to take this? And man, that perspective starts to come into play. And so I think she was saying I was her favorite. I think she was clear, I was her favorite. There's no doubt about that. But the issue is, I even Googled it, there are not many of us Asian pastors in the area. And so let me just say, you don't have to be the coldest beer in the fridge to get that title. I'm still her favorite, still her favorite. But for most of us, if we think about our true perspective of Thanksgiving, it may not even have that much to do with thankfulness, as we think it is a production, isn't it? It's a time where we're thinking about pulling together this big meal. We're trying to make a table look like the one behind me. We're getting ready to watch some football. I am excited about watching some football, so we're getting ready to do that. Maybe we're getting our fantasy lineup set up. Maybe we're thinking about shopping. I'm even thinking about work during Thanksgiving. We got all this stuff, and it's a big production. And what if we could change our perspective? My goal today is to change your perspective of what Thanksgiving can mean for all of us. And the main thing I want to get across, main thing I want you to see, I believe that all of us are invited to God's table, like the one behind me. I believe all of us have an invitation to be a part of God's table. But there's one thing we have to do. There's one thing you have to think about. And that one thing is not to say the right things. It's not to do the right things. There's one thing you and I need to do. And we need to give God our thanksgiving.
We need to give God our thanksgiving. I'm going to spend the rest of our time talking about how do we actually do that? How do we change our perspective to get there to give our thanksgiving? Let's pray right now. God, I pray that tonight there would be fresh things. God, I pray that there'd be hidden things that were uncovered that just change us, that make us look at you in a different way. So God, would you use all of my words? Would you use all the music that we've heard and all the things we're going to continue to experience to allow us to experience you in a fresh and powerful and new way? I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at this perspective of thanksgiving, and the one thing God wants you to do is to give your thanksgiving. One thing God wants you to do. You ever done something generous for somebody where you're like, man, I just did something really nice and they should totally appreciate it, and then you don't get anything back in return? Anybody ever done that? I've done that. They don't send you a thank you note. They don't give you a phone call. They don't send you a text message. They don't post it on Facebook. Like, you don't even get a tweet out of this. You're like, come on, like, man, I've done something nice. I want to give you an idea of what that looks like. And the time that comes to mind for me, it was back in my college days. I was a freshman, and I had just finished up getting ready for college, spending 2 years as a sandwich artist. I was rocking it at Subway before $5 footlongs were $5 footlongs. I was working at Subway, and here's one of the great perks of working at Subway that is totally illegal. And so working at Subway, when you used to go in back in my day, I sound like Brian Tome up here, don't I? Like, back in my day, when you would go to Subway and you would buy a 6-inch sub as you were checking out, they had this little wheel by the wall, and you'd spin the wheel and they'd give you a stamp and you would get it, and you had this little card that had 12 spaces and you put your lick it and put your stamp on it. And then if you got a foot long, you would get 2 stamps, and on Tuesdays you got what? Double stamp Tuesdays, come on, somebody's got it. And so you would go, and if you got 12 stamps, you got a free sub. Man, free food, who does not love some free food? I love free food. And so I'm working there, and a lot of people just wouldn't take their stamps. And so at the end of the night, I would just kind of go to the wheel thing, and I'd be like, and I would take all the stamps and pocket them. And then what would also happen is I wasn't always an Asian pastor, okay? Like, I wasn't always, I'm just telling you. Being real with you here. And so people would also go in and they would return their cards and actually get a free 6-inch sub. And then instead of like writing void on it, I'd just be like, whoop, okay, great. And so spending a couple years working at Subway, I'm sorry I screwed up the stamp system too. Let me tell you that. I'm just going to tell you now. I'm sorry I messed that up for you guys. But I had a shoebox full of stamps and cards. So wherever I went, it didn't matter. I was always eating free Subway. It was awesome. And when you're living in the dorms and the food is just awful, like, man, you're going to Subway as much as you can. And so I'd go into Subway. They'd look at me funny like, gosh, weren't you here like 10 minutes ago? And I was like, I eat a lot of double stamp Tuesdays and keep my stamps. And so they're just like, whatever, we'll give it to you. But I found out, man, if you're getting free food, what else do you need? You need some free drink, don't you? Like, man, you need to figure out how to get this. And so I had this little thing where walking to Subway, I would pass a UDF. And back in my day, as Brian Tome would say, one of the things that would happen is Sprite would have this deal where 1 in 6 would be a free winner. And I was in school for engineering, so I could figure out how things worked, and I had managed this way where if you took a couple of the bottles, and if you angle it just right, every time, 100%, I could go in and find the one that was the winner. And so I would actually take my winning cap, I already had the winning cap, grab my winner bottle, trade it in and get my free Sprite, and then I would have a winner to go the next time. So every time I get free Subway, free Sprite. Man, that's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Life was good, right? Come on, anyone with me? And so I'm serious, life was good. And I'm walking out one night to go get it, and this guy walks up to me, and he's panhandling, and he says, man, can I get some money to get some food? And I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't have much money on me. I'm thinking, I got something better. Got something better. So I take my wallet out. I give him a Subway card filled out, free 6-inch sub, ready to go. And before he can say thank you or anything else, he starts asking me for money on top of that. Let me tell you, I don't care the illegal means I got the cards. I was offended. Like, dude, this is like my food. This is good stuff. I'm giving you my good stuff. Like, what is the deal? Like, you're not even going to say thanks? Like, come on, like a little bit? And I just wanted to snatch the card out of the guy's hand. I'm thinking, really? No thanks at all? And in that moment, the reality is that guy did not have much he could give me. But the one thing he could give me is he could have said thank you. He could have said, I really appreciate what you are doing. But he chose not to do that. I want us to think about whatever we believe about God. If God created the world, if you believe that, if you believe there is a God, what could you possibly do to give God something? I'll tell you, there's one thing you can give God. There's only one. You can give him your thanks. You can give God your thanks. So one thing that God wants you to bring to his table, one thing, he wants you to give him your thanks. There's a similar story that I experienced in the book of Luke, and I want to share this with you. It's in Luke 17. It says this. It says, now, on his way to Jerusalem, this was Jesus. He traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Let's hold it right here. So Jesus is walking from one city to another city. And on the way, there are these 10 guys outside the cities. And it says they were lepers. Now, leprosy is like a formal thing that screws up all your nerve endings. And a lot of times you lose appendages because you can't feel things. But back in biblical days, leprosy meant a lot of things. And a lot of times there was like weird skin stuff going on. So if you had really scaly skin or if you had like it looked like something moldy was on you, they would kick you out of the community. You would literally be outside of the city, outside of the resources. You would have to fend for yourself. And that's where these 10 guys were. They're yelling to Jesus because they're not even allowed to go next to him. They're saying, Master, will you have pity on us? And it's weird. Like, it doesn't say much in this verse beside Jesus. Like, okay, go show yourself to the priest. And what that meant was the only one that would allow them to come back into the community was if they went and showed their skin to the priest. And he said, you're clean. You're okay. And so what do these 10 guys do? They listen. They show themselves to the priest. And they're healed. They're reintegrated in society. Life is good. God did something great for them. Jesus heals them. And we see an interesting finish to this story. It says, one of them, one of the 10, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Man, when I read, there are a couple things that really strike me here. The first one is, he spends a lot of time like being like, and anybody gonna thank me? Like he spends a lot of time. He's like, one little thing like, hey, go show yourself to the priest, you're healed. He's like, but where's the thanks? Where is the thanks in this? But the other interesting thing, he calls the guy a foreigner. Like, kind of like calls him out. It feels really negative. But all Jesus was saying, he was saying, you're a Samaritan. And so you probably wouldn't follow these Jewish laws, which mean like, I got to try to do everything right. That's what the Jews were oftentimes very much about, or at least the Pharisees, one that were really strictly following the code. They're trying to do the right things. It's interesting, a lot of folks that were trying to just do the right things, but weren't making the right relationship, they missed the chance to say thanks. I want to change our perspective tonight of why we would want to say thanks. Why we would want to look at this holiday of Thanksgiving. Because this holiday that's not even a Christian holiday, not even a biblical holiday, it may be the most important one we experience. This may be the most grounding one we experience. So three reasons why the only thing you need to bring to the table at Thanksgiving is your thanks, your thankfulness. First one, God loves our thanks. First reason, God loves our thanks. Man, don't you love it when people do thank you? Don't you love it when people follow and say, man, thanks for doing that. I appreciate you. We love that. And why would we think that God would look at that any differently? God loves it when we thank him. Loves it when we thank him. This is why 1 Thessalonians says this. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in what? All circumstances. Not for all circumstances. It's not like, man, thanks to this crummy thing's happening, but saying, man, we need to try to always be thankful, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Actually, I was thinking about one way you could practice tonight. If you have kids and put them into childcare, Any of us thankful that we don't, like, man, yeah, somebody's really thankful right there. And so, man, think of childcare as you're going. You can practice that tonight, but I'll tell you, God loves your thanks. Loves it. Man, I love getting to be a part of this place. I can still have my aha moments, and I had one of those this past weekend when in between songs we play this video of a woman named Rachel. She's a part of the Awaited show. She's part of the cast, and she was talking about a unique insight of why she worships, and I hope you check this out again and are encouraged.
I'm Rachel, and I'm an Awaited. I love performing in Awaited because it's worship for me. Another way I like to worship is here on the weekends. There's a line in the song, 10,000 Reasons, sing like never before, oh my soul. I love that because it makes me think of worshiping God with every fiber of my being, every bit of me. I'm surrendering to him and singing as loudly as I can just for him, and he loves it. He loves to hear the sound of my voice, and
one, I just opened my Sprite and it's not a winner. That's a bummer. That is a bummer. No, did you hear what she said? She said, he loves to hear my voice. He loves to hear my voice. So many times we talk about, hey, we're going to sing these songs because they articulate things in a way that we can't always understand, or maybe we wouldn't have written it that way. We sing these songs because we want to center ourselves. Let me tell you why we sing songs. Because God loves it. That's the number one reason. We sing songs because God loves our thanks. He loves it. Loves our thanks. Part of the reasons that we included post-it notes, God loves our thanks. God loves it when we take a minute out to say, God, I'm thankful for this. God, I recognize that you put this person in my life. God, I recognize that you gave me this ability. God loves it when we do that. Maybe you're one of the folks that this week at 10 a.m., or maybe yesterday at 10 a.m., you actually got Awaited tickets from the Awaited website. Let me tell you, you should be putting that down, right? Like, absolutely, you should be writing that down if you're on there. Maybe you're thankful for that friend that's sitting right next to you right now that met you out in the atrium before coming in here. You know what? I'd be writing down their name right now. I'd be writing that name down. Maybe you're thankful that you're going to get to see friends and family that you haven't seen in a long time. I'd be writing that down right now. I want to tell you something I'm thankful for this week. One of those was I got to have lunch with my friend Matt, and I'm going to write that down. And Matt now has 5 kids. He just had twins, and I don't get to see him very often anymore. Like, he lives up in Fairfield, which is like Egypt. It's like Canada, basically, and so rarely get up there. It was great to be able to spend time with him. He bought my lunch, which is great, but most importantly, I got to hear about what God's doing in his life and just be encouraged to see growth in him, hear him call out the same in me. Man, I'm thankful for that. Man, one of the things I'm thankful for, right now, my wife and I were thinking about, we don't have any vacations planned for the next year. And so we started thinking, you know what? We need to take a vacation during spring break. And we started getting excited just about thinking about spending time, just the two of us, having the kiddos hang out with the grandparents. Man, I'm thankful for that. Something to look forward to. That is awesome. I'm thankful that this week, before Thanksgiving, I have a couple friends that went on the Bourbon Trail. They brought me back a bottle and didn't expect anything. No, seriously, I'm thankful for friends that want to give things and build into me. Man, that is awesome. Awesome. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? It's possible sometimes we have that mind block and we feel like we can't think of something. I want to give you a super easy way to get started in that. Pull your phone out. Pull your phone. You guys are doing it anyways during service, so take your phone out. I'm just kidding. Take your phone out and look through some of your pictures. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find something that you are thankful for. You're going to find something that brings joy to your face. You're going to something that makes you smile, and you're going to have the opportunity to say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you put that in my life. Man, write that down. Continue to write that down as we go. I mean, we're all invited to God's table, but the one thing that God wants is our thanks. Number two, second perspective we have to give God our thanks. So we have to realize that we get more of God when we give God our thanks. We actually get more of God when we give God our thanks. I love how this one author puts it. She says, what you appreciate, appreciates. What she's saying is, what you have gratitude for, what you actually care about, what you are thankful for, it actually grows in your life. And so, if you care about having funds in your bank account, absolutely, right? You're gonna do things that build in your bank account. You're going to be thankful for that. You're going to see that grow. If you really care about friendships, you know what you're going to do? You take time to build into your friendships, and you're going to see friendships grow. If you care about God, if you give God your thanks, you're going to see your relationship with God grow every time. Now, this one isn't the easiest one to just explain, but I want to tell you, I've seen it again and again and again. I'm reminded this just a couple weeks ago. I'm in my basement, and I'm digging through some old files, and I find this big file cabinet deal that I used to carry around. It had all my old records in it, my receipts, all from 2004 and 5, and I hadn't opened it in about 8 years. And so I open this thing. It's kind of like a time capsule. I open it up, and one of the first things in it was my credit report from 2005. I forget this stuff, that my credit report in 2005, I start looking through the pages on it. One of the first things it said is that I had $36,000 of credit card debt in 2004 and 2005. $36,000! 5 credit cards! This is embarrassing. I'm going to show you one of the credit card statements that I had. Check out this credit card statement. It's called the Chase Freedom Card. This thing should be called the Chase Slavery Card, like the Iron Edition. Like, man, it did not feel like freedom. So that was my balance on there, $10,800 on 1 of 5 cards. And it had a pretty modest rate on it. And so if you look at the interest rate, it was around 29.5% at the time. 29.5%. I was paying in 1 month $289.68 in credit card charges. You don't have to be Asian to know that is a lot of money. That is a lot of jack. Like, this is not good. This is 1 of 5 credit cards. And the reality is, we don't get into this mess overnight. My perspective didn't change to this overnight. Like, this was getting many credit card offers that said 0% interest for like a year. I'm like, woohoo, new one, great. And I spent, I get into this mess, and it got so heavy that it got to the point where I just couldn't even sleep. I would stay up at night just thinking, I can't believe how far this has gone. I can't believe it. I don't think I will ever get out of this. It was heavy. It was awful. It's that same time that I'm getting connected at Crossroads. I really sense that God's wanting to build into me. And it's the same time where it makes no sense. God says, while I am in a pile of debt, if you trust me, what if you started giving? What if you started giving? Open that same time capsule box, and the crazy thing is I'm flipping through and I'm just embarrassed at some of the stuff I'm seeing. I find this. It's the first giving statement I had at Crossroads. And for something started, something clicked on February 22nd, where I gave my first check. And I want to tell you, I probably was not tithing. I mean, I don't know, maybe I was making $300 every week or two, but I doubt I was tithing. But I started giving $30 at a time, $35. So it goes to $30. Something started happening where I started making it a priority. I started giving. And all I was saying is I was saying, God, I just want to tangibly say thank you. I want to tangibly recognize who you are, and I'm going to do that by just saying, I trust you. I want to thank you, and I got to know. I know that every $30 check, God was saying, man, I feel thanked. I know that. Had a statement from the next year. I don't have a picture, but this one, for some reason in January of 2015, I don't know if I missed some, but I gave a $720 gift. And I know at that time, I was not making much money. It was a big deal. And all I was trying to do is say, God, I trust you, and I want to thank you. And I want to tell you what happened. Had no idea that in the next 4 years, God would do something powerful. I have crazy things happen. Like, one of the things that happened, all of a sudden, I'm opening up my bills, and it was the worst the day that you come and get your bills in the mailbox. It was just like pain. So you go to the mailbox like, oh, I hope there's not one in there. And so you get it out, and I open it up 1 month, and there's a $2,000 credit refund. There's a $2,000 refund. I mean, quite frankly, they probably should have refunded me like 29.5%, but all of a sudden, I didn't ask for it, didn't apply for it. Like, here's a refund for you. We're just going to give you $2,000 back. So they're like, wow, are you serious? And I just knew that I could start trusting. All I was saying, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much that I'm willing to trust you with my money. And in 4 years, 4 years, God does this crazy thing where I'm giving more than I'm ever giving. I'm actually excited and thankful to do it. And you know what happened? Right, my last payment to debt. Then I knew freedom, right? Come on, like, chase freedom, give me a break. I knew freedom because God is good. God is good. Let me tell you, God just wanted us to give our thanks. And the more we say thank you, the more we can get of God. I started to actually believe verses like this one. This is from 2 Corinthians 9. It says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." That just says, if you're willing to thank God, he really will bless you. It's not always the way you want it, but he will bless you. And you know what comes out of that? You're going to be even more thankful. You are going to be built into, you're going to appreciate it. The one thing that God wants, he wants your thanks. He wants your thanks. The interesting thing, too, this thing works the other way, too. It doesn't just work where we give thanks. If you want to know how to actually disconnect from God, it's actually really easy. Because what you underappreciate atrophies. What you appreciate appreciates. What you underappreciate atrophies. We see this in Scripture. This is what Romans 1 says. It says the exact opposite of what we just saw. So it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. It says, you want to know the recipe for disconnecting from God? Don't say thanks. Don't say thanks and see what happens, because God wants one thing. He wants you to give your thanks. He says, and when you do that, he says, I promise you will experience more of me. What else might you be thankful for right now? Pick up your post. What else might you be thankful for? I'll tell you, I just feel like right now, I've got 36,000 reasons to be thankful. I've got 36,000 reasons that God's rescued me. I can sleep again. I have peace. I have joy. Like, man, I can sleep well when my kid's not waking me up. So it's good. What might you have to be thankful for? Maybe it's because you just made it one more month financially. Write that down. God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful I made it one more month. Well, maybe I didn't think that I'd be able to do it. Maybe it's the ability to provide for your family. One of the things that I'm just thankful that I can provide, my kiddo got sick this week, and so he wasn't feeling well, and we're able to take him to the doctor and get medicine. Man, I'm thankful that we can provide that. What else might you be thankful for? Thankful that tomorrow, even though I'm traveling to two houses, I get to spend time with two families that actually love us and care about us. I just know God's put good people in my life. I'm thankful for that. Writing down, I've got two families that love me. And I actually like my in-laws. I can put that on there. That's. God loves our thanks. And as we give thanks to God, God has more for us. There's one more thing I want you to know tonight. Last perspective I want us to have, because one thing that God wants are thanks. What God also wants you to know, there's a seat waiting just for you. At a table like this, at the one that God sits at, he says, there is a seat that is waiting just for you. Not for some of you, not for the, for you, is what he says. When we think of Thanksgiving, I think as that video saw, most of us probably start immediately going to that Thanksgiving meal, which was the pilgrims eating with the Indians. But if you dig deeper, you will find that was not the original Thanksgiving meal. The original Thanksgiving meal went to a time where Jesus said, I'm going to pull together my closest friends. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to tell them what I think about them. And part of why I know that is this meal that some of us maybe know as the communion meal, or maybe some of us have heard this word before. A lot of us use it when referring to the communion meal. It's called Eucharist. Eucharist has a deep, rich meaning. I want you to look at the definition of Eucharist. If you translate it in Greek, it is the giving of thanks for God's grace. That's what the Eucharist meal, that's what the Last Supper meal, that's what this meal was all about. This was the first Thanksgiving meal. And if we tap into this, if we look at the invitation, there's something powerful that can change our perspective around thanks. Let's look at it. It's in Luke 22. Here's what it says. It says, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. This is the beginning of the meal. Jesus is sitting with his closest guys. This is his inner circle. And he's telling them, I'm thankful to be with you. And he's also telling them, I'm going to be leaving you. Tell them that I know something really bad is about to happen. And in the midst of struggle, in the midst of the tough thing, I'm still going to give thanks. I'm going to give you hope. And listen to this invitation that he puts out here. He took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. He's breaking the bread. He says to them, this is my body. He breaks it off. He says, given for you. And he looks them in the eye. And he hands it to them. And they eat it. And they knew that Jesus had recently said, look, I'm the bread of life. And he continues. He says, and likewise, the cup after they've eaten, saying, this is the cup that's poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And he says, I have this cup, and I'm going to be poured out, and there's something awful that's going to happen. And yet I love you guys, and I'm thankful for you. And what was Jesus inviting them to? What was going on there? You know, when you ate with somebody, there's something really powerful that meant. It meant that you were on their level. And Jesus was saying, I come and meet you where you're at. But Jesus was also saying something else. There's something beautiful where he's saying, if you partake in this, if you trust me that I died for you and later rose again from you, for you, you not only get to eat this one meal with me, but there's going to be an eternal meal that we eat together when you have a seat at my table. There's a beautiful invitation to say, hey, I want to spend eternity. I want to invite you into something well beyond what you are capable of doing. There's a seat that's waiting for you. So I want to give you two quick perspectives on how to think about this. The seat is waiting for you. And the first one, it will cost your thankfulness. If you want access to the seat, it will cost your thankfulness. And this can mean a lot of things. Maybe the first one, it means that you've got to look differently about how you allocate your time and resources and things. Maybe it means that you'll actually have to cost you your pride. And for me, as I go back and look at how I was just recklessly spending and how I wasn't thinking about anything else, it cost me my pride. I had to change something because Jesus said, you know what? You can't serve two masters. And I think he's also saying you cannot thank two masters. It's going to cost you your thanks. For me, it cost my comfort. As I knew during that time and as God was getting rid of my debt, one of the things I just knew, he was calling me to go to a place that wasn't comfortable, but that I could actually have an impact, that I would actually experience joy and just become more of what God wanted me to do, and I'd be able to say, thanks, I trust you. And I left a job, I started making half of what I was making, but you know what, I started to experience joy, and it will cost your thanks. But the last thing you need to know, you need to hear this, if you don't hear anything else, it is totally worth it. It's completely worth doing. Because as I've given God thanks, the amazing thing, you get more of God. You experience joy. You experience connections. I've experienced friends that have walked through anything with me. I've experienced the joy of no longer being enslaved to horrible credit cards bills or debt or even what other people think about me. But I can say, God, I trust you and I thank you and I know you are good. And what God says, he says, I have a seat for you at my table. It'll cost you your thanks, but it's so, so worth it. There's a seat waiting for you. Right now, what I want us to do, I want us to get a chance to give thanks in two ways. I want to give us a chance to thank God as a community, and we're going to do that through taking communion in just a moment. And so in just a moment, volunteers are going to come up and you're going to have the opportunity, if you believe that Jesus died for you, if you believe that he's the Son of God and he rose from the dead, then we'll invite you to participate. And if somebody breaks off the bread for you and says, the body of Christ given for you, you get to say thank you, not only that person, you get to say, God, I thank you that I can trust you. I thank you that you provide for me. You are the bread of life. Thank you. Other thing that's going to happen, you're going to go and just remind folks we're a dipping community, so don't try to grab the cup. We dip, and you're going to take the bread, and you're going to dip it in the wine. Say, the blood of Christ shed for you. And you're going to say thank you because you're going to realize, Jesus, you've spilled your blood for me. You are so good to have done that. Your blood washes away my sin, and the only thing that God sees, he sees me because now I look like you, Jesus. He looks at me and he smiles and he loves me. We want to say thank you. We're going to get to do that. But the other thing, I want to give us an opportunity to personally respond tonight. And I want to give you an opportunity. God, I want to thank you. I want to give you an opportunity. And so maybe right now you're still jotting down something that you're thankful for. I want to tell you, I'm thankful to get to be here on last Wednesday with you guys tonight. I am absolutely thankful for that. And maybe you're capturing a few more things on here. Continue to do that. But what I want you to do, I want you to be able to say, God, I thank you, and I want to sit at the table with you. I want to receive the spot that you pull aside for me. I want to receive the spot that you want me to have. And you, if you want, as we're taking communion, you can rip off the one that has your name on it. You can say, Jesus, I'm in. I want to sit at that table. And for some of us, maybe this means that this is the first time they've actually believed that when I thank you, you can smile. God smiles when we do that. Maybe for you, there's a new thing that you're going to go after and say thank you for. But I want you to know God loves it when we say thanks. The one thing we need to do, we need to give God our thanks. Let's pray before we do this. God, I thank you. You are absolutely worthy of saying thank you to. I thank you that all the good things that have happened in my life, and I believe all the good things that have happened in this room, are because of you. And God, we as a community, we as a team, we as individuals, we as families, we say thank you. And we pray all of that in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come up and give thanks as we take communion and tell God we want to be at your table. Let's do that now.
Whenever you guys are ready, you can actually come up on stage and post your post-it notes straight to this table. So come around either side whenever you want to post that.
I
God doesn't care what the table looks like, doesn't care what decorations we put on it, doesn't care what we say even, as much as will we give thanks. And you want to know the table that he loves to see? One that looks just like this. This is the one he loves to see. God says, I love that. I feel thanked. I love it. He looks at you and he says, I appreciate that. Let's sing just maybe that chorus again of that song that says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And yeah, we'll get out of here in a minute. So why don't you lead us in that, Aaron?
Why don't we stand and let's just sing this one last time. Sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
God is happy. He wants your thanks. And he wants us to continue to change our perspective and to see that and to continue to do that. We're going to have an opportunity to follow through tomorrow and the day after. And if you still have some of your Post-its, I want you to do something with these. I want you to put them in your pocket and keep them. I want you to put them in your pocket and remind yourself. Maybe if you put them up here, take a picture. But I want you to remember and be thankful. And you know what will happen? Your heavenly Father will be pleased. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. Have an awesome one, guys. And, hey, you want to practice being thankful now? Return your Sharpies. Jesus loves it when we do that, too. Have an awesome Thanksgiving, guys.